Okay, thank you for coming along today. Today is the 100th day of the Liberal National Government. On the last day of the election campaign, the Liberal Party released a document, the Liberal Plan for the first 100 days of government. It is therefore appropriate that I do report on this 100th day on what the government has achieved over those 100 days, and indeed our record, if you like, in keeping to the commitments we made. The Liberal Plan for the first 100 days in government covered 45 commitments that we said that we would undertake during those 100 days. Of those 45, I would claim that 38 have either been achieved or are substantially underway. For the others, some progress, but relatively little progress has been made. Probably the two issues where I think it is fair to say that we have not met our commitment would be the South West Gas Pipeline. The other one would have been the development of the Northern Towns project. However, can I stress that all of the commitments made during the election campaign and all of the commitments made in the 100-day plan will be met. To this point, we've met 38 out of 45, or about 85%. Can I also add that in addition to what was committed to in the 100-day plan, there have been a number of other major issues dealt with by the government over these first 100 days. They include the Esperance lead contamination, the teachers' dispute, the decision to proceed with the Mouchet sale yards, which had stalled for years, the decision to proceed with a new prison in Derby, the creation of a specialist mines department, and a number of other things. And I could add to that the LNG precinct site in the Kimberley. We've also settled a significant number of industrial relations issues with public sector employees. In conclusion, can I say that I am pleased with what this government has achieved over its first 100 days. I am pleased with the way in which ministers have tackled their portfolios and have made decisions. I committed at the start of this government that it would be a government that would hopefully provide good government to Western Australia and would be a government that makes decisions. So there it is, it's appropriate. The 100-day plan did set an ambitious target for the government. It did make us come out and work hard on election commitments, and I believe the record is a good one. So in the interest of accountability, there it is, that's 100 days.
Do you think this was an overambitious plan that you had?
Look, I think it is fair to say, in terms of actually getting legislation drafted through both houses of Parliament before Christmas, that interpretation was put on some of the commitments, and that was not realistic. However, it is worth noting that the two issues that we highlighted in the campaign, the surrogacy legislation and truth in sentencing, were both put through and passed through Parliament. So other areas, for example, changes to the drug legislation, which is important, is a complex drafting exercise, and that is going on at present, and that will be introduced at the beginning of 2009. So in the legislative areas, yeah, time was against us, given the standing orders of two houses of Parliament.
But you knew that time was against you when the plan was written. We always knew when the election was going to be held and that there'd be limited time left at the end of the year. Who actually wrote this plan?
The 100-day plan was put out by my office on the last day of the election campaign. I think at the time it didn't attract any media attention at all. It was the last day of the election campaign. But look, it has served a purpose, because it did send... It has served a purpose in that it did set an aggressive agenda for the government and gave effectively to ministers clear instructions as to what was expected over them. Gave to ministers clear instructions as to what was expected of them over the first 100 days. And of the 45 commitments, 38 have basically been achieved. I think that's a good outcome.
Will you continue to break promises as Premier?
I haven't broken promises and I will not break a promise.
Do you apologise for not meeting 25% of those targets?
No, we've met 85%. So I would concede that maybe 15% haven't been met, but some work has been done on all of those. I acknowledge that not every one of the 45 targets has been achieved, but that is not a broken promise. We did not meet them in the 100 days. We will commit and we will deliver on all of those matters.
There's quite a number in the outline that says it's before cabinet, it's being discussed. I mean, is that under your definition of progress actually coming ahead? I mean, or is that just putting it before cabinet just to simply get it out of the way?
Where that has been put in the report, that means that the issue has been to Cabinet. Cabinet has decided upon it, and the minister responsible will make an announcement sometime between that Cabinet meeting, basically the last two of the year, and the next Cabinet meetings towards the end of January. So you can expect, for example, in health, Kim Hames will be making a number of health announcements over coming weeks. They are all issues that have been decided, and they will be announced in due course in an orderly way. So they have been dealt with.
On the day that you announced your Cabinet, you did say that the cannabis laws and the constitution laws repealing them would be a priority. Is it a failure? I mean, you say that they are conflicts, but you claim them as a priority. Is it a failure that you haven't been able to make any
Well, with respect to the prostitution laws, we said that we would basically throw out Labor's approach and we would not allow brothels to be established in the suburbs and towns of Western Australia. That had not received assent through the Governor, so that process was stopped. So we actually have stopped Labor's laws coming into law. So that has been dealt with. On the cannabis laws, we are discussing, that's been handled by Graham Jacobs is the Minister for Mental Health, who has responsibility for drugs, and he is working on that, and we expect that legislation to come in at the beginning of the new year. It is a complex matter. I think what has happened under Labor has been extraordinarily damaging to young people. We've seen increased drug usage. We've seen all sorts of problems, social crime problems, but in particular serious issues of mental health resulting from drug usage. Now, Graham Jacobs is an experienced doctor in his own right. He's dealt with mental health issues in his career, and he is working on that in a professional way.
What's your biggest disappointment in terms of those that you haven't met, whether that be legislation or the others?
Look, I honestly don't have a single biggest disappointment. I am pleased with the results of this government over its 100 days. I concede that not every one of the 45 has been met, but 38 have been either fully met or substantially in place.
How do you think the electorate will view this?
Look, I think the electorate, I would hope the electorate will see that they have a government in Western Australia which is about good government. We do consider issues carefully. I would not unnecessarily rush a matter simply to comply with the 100-day commitment. If it's not in correct order, then I would stop it proceeding until it's in good shape. So I think people would expect that, and the commitment is that we will honour our election commitments. I think people understand 100 days is a short period of time for a new government. But I cannot think from my experience of another government in recent times that has done so much in such a short period of time.
Mandatory sentences for public officers such as nurses is a broken promise, isn't it?
If you go back to the election campaign, you'll find that at all times during the election campaign, I spoke of introducing mandatory sentences for assaults on police officers. Now, yes, I know the wording in there says public officers, because at the time during the election campaign, there was some doubt as to whether you could distinguish police officers from other public officers. We now realise that we can make that distinction. The legal advice is along those lines, and the intent was always to provide that higher level of, if you like, protection for police officers. Now, there are differing views about that, but we have introduced legislation to make it mandatory for an assault on police officers. If someone assaults a police officer causing bodily harm, then that person will go to prison. So that commitment has been met.
You've got so many legislative changes that you need to make. How come you chose only to sit 8 days this year and 17 weeks next year? One way to get around it would be to increase the time.
We came back to Parliament earlier than previous governments, certainly significantly earlier than the Labor governments after an election. We came back to obviously allow new members to be sworn in, and we came back specifically to meet our commitment on surrogacy and truth in sentencing, which we did.
Premier, there are a number of regional issues here that you haven't actually tackled yet, a couple of broken promises. What do you say to the people of regional WA? Are these still important issues?
Can you give me an example?
The Kimberley Science and Conservation Strategy, the Great Western Woodlands Strategy.
They have been through Cabinet, and the Minister for Environment will make some announcements on those issues. And can I say the Minister for Environment is also working on some other significant issues that were not in the 100-day campaign, so you can expect to hear a fair bit from her over the coming weeks.
Regional issues?
Well, they are... I mean, most of the issues going through Cabinet actually relate to regional areas. And if you look at issues, the Kalgoorlie prison has been, sorry, the Kalgoorlie hospital has been put in place after 8 years of delay under Labor. Christian Porter in the Kimberley announced the Derby prison project. I've identified the LNG site. Brendan Grylls has introduced the commitment that came from the National Party for funding for local government. That is in place. So again, I think there's been a large number of regional projects. No, there won't be a reshuffle. There will be some tidying up within government of responsibilities, not portfolios as such, but some areas of responsibility will be, there'll be some minor readjustments, but there won't be a cabinet reshuffle as such. Well, for example, where an issue like responsibility for native title, where that should lie, whether that should be in Premier and Cabinet, whether it should be in lands, whether it should be in the Attorney General. There are a couple of issues like that. Climate change has been another one. So there are some minor, bear in mind, one of the things that has already happened is there's been two structural changes. The creation of the Public Sector Commission, which was done immediately, and that is in place. As of the 1st of January, the new Department of State Development, the Department of Minerals and Petroleum, and the Department of Commerce legally come into operation. And there will be other changes to the structure of government. Now, within those changes, there are some functions that also get reassigned.
No reshuffle, do you mean just in the short term?
Well, I'm not even contemplating a cabinet reshuffle. I'm very pleased with the performance of cabinet.
Are there some ministers who would like to see
perform
better?
Every minister, myself included, has got to always perform better. And as I say, I am genuinely pleased with the performance of all ministers. I will be meeting with ministers individually over the next few weeks. I've already started that process, going through not only election commitments but also discussing with them their view of their portfolio and what they would set out to achieve during the coming year.
So what are your priorities in the new year then?
For this year, 2009 is going to be a very difficult year for Australia and for Western Australia. The priorities of the government will be to provide steady and good government, to continue to make decisions, but in particular to concentrate on trying to get us through this economic environment that we're now facing. So there'll be a focus on major projects, and I've already outlined those through the Infrastructure Australia project. The Ord River, which now is basically underway, also keen to see Oakajee, the sinking of the rail line, and some other major petroleum and mining projects get underway. If Western Australia can maintain some momentum on major projects, this economy will fare better than any other state during this troubled period. Can I also add to that, and I guess as a comment to the wider community, I would urge people to think about this year in advance, to do what they can to prepare for perhaps unforeseen financial stress. There will be job losses in the community. That has already happened to some extent, and you could expect more. There also will be social issues arise during the year, and for many people, very difficult personal and emotional issues. Now, I believe Western Australia will come through this period well, but it would be false of me not to say that there are going to be significant economic, financial and personal pressures, particularly during the first 6 months of 2009.
Okay, this patting on the back that is happening here today for the first 100 days, where do you see yourself at the end of the first year?
What sort
of things are you going to have to achieve to actually be able to do this at the end of your first year?
Well, I wouldn't use that term. I think this is being accountable. We made a clear commitment in the election campaign, and I am reporting on that as I see that result after 100 days. That is accountability. If the West Australian economy this time next year can be in a situation where it has basically ridden out a tough economic period and can seem to be now then regaining some momentum, there will be a shock to this economy in the first half of 2009. If we can get through that and confidence and momentum can be restored by the end of next year, I would be pleased on an economic front. Related to that, and it's basically Troy Buswell's prime role, is to make sure that we protect the state finances, that we don't create a financial problem for future years. So there will need to be some corrective measures, both on expenditure, principally on expenditure and capital works. I would also like to see, while economic matters may well dominate, I would like to see the government over the course of the next 12 months progress on its social agenda, if you like, and that will be issues like drugs. It will be issues like dealing with prostitution, which have been around for a long time, but in particular with Graham Jacobs on mental health issues, on dealing with some of the problems within Indigenous communities. That would be what I would hope, that we can, at this time next year, show real progress in addressing some of the personal and social issues in our community. I would hope that this government would be seen as a government with a sense of social justice. And, you know, we've only just begun that work. I guess appointing a Minister for Mental Health was an important start. The work that Kim Hames is doing with Aboriginal people, I think is terrific. But again, the results have to be proven. So that's what I hope in 12 months' time I could stand in front of you and say we have made significant progress on some of those more difficult social issues.
Are there any regrets over the first 100 days that, you know, in the transition to government you should have dealt with something differently?
Well, nothing strikes me particularly. I think, you know, probably the most stressful or trying experience was the coming together between the Liberal and the National Party and working out those relations. That created a sense of perhaps uncertainty for the first couple of weeks of the government, but I believe that has now settled down well, and I am working very well with Brendan Grylls. He's getting on with his job in regional areas, and I think the decision with the commitment of the Prime Minister on the Ord River project is a great credit to Brendan, so we are working well together.
What about the commitment to the Royal Fitzroy Region scheme, which was perhaps made at a time when we didn't realise we were going to be facing such a thing?
Well, yeah, and that does put strain, and both Troy and I have made it very clear that we will have to make some decisions to make sure that the state doesn't get into its own financial mess. I don't believe we will slide into a deficit in future years, but I am concerned about the potential growth in state debt, and that is why we will address the Capital Works program.
How much did you have to change your focus given the global financial crisis? I mean, when you just were elected, you wouldn't have even foreseen it. And how much have you, in these first 100 days, have you had to go, we really have to change the Capital Works program because of that?
Look, I think that Australia still hasn't felt the major impact of what has happened in North America and Europe in particular, but we will feel it. That is now starting to become a dominant factor within government, and you can expect that Troy and myself will be making a number of announcements over the coming 2 months. The economic audit will report, and then the budget in May will be the key document. So it has become an issue which, while I thought that the so-called boom time had in fact passed us by, and I expected to see a slowing demand for commodities, no one could have anticipated the collapse in world financial markets as has happened. I mean, this is the most severe financial position Australia has faced since the early 1990s. Well, tax cuts we will have to look at. There have been some tax cuts delivered. There was basically a 7% cut in land tax. We did commit to a $250 million tax cut. That will have to go into the mix as to whether we can achieve that or whether we have to defer some of that.
The Treasurer ruled out tax cuts just a couple of weeks ago in mid-year reviews.
Yeah.
Has there been a change of...
No, look, Troy and I, excuse me, Troy's currently on leave, but when he returns, we will sit down and go through the major capital items, and tax cuts will be part of that.
So we're not ruling out suspension of tax cuts?
No, I'm not ruling that out at all.
That's very different to what Mr. Buswell was saying a couple of weeks ago, Premier.
Sorry, well, what's your interpretation of that?
During the mid-year review,
yeah.
Troy Buswell was directly asked whether tax cuts were at risk. He said no, they weren't.
Yeah, well, tax cuts will have to be looked at. Tax cuts have already been delivered, and one of the concerns is that this state has now become a high-taxing government, a high-taxing state under Labor. We went from being the second lowest to the highest-taxing state in the Commonwealth. Now, I would hope that we can deliver tax cuts, but the timing of those and the scale of them will come under consideration.
Will you wait for the economic audit to make that decision?
Look, we'll make some decisions before the economic audit. When they come out, we'll take on their advice, and that will be reflected primarily in the state budget.
Has there also been any strategy agreed upon to adjust the royalties for regions agreement fund if things do get really bad? Unforeseen.
Well, if that happened, and I don't believe it will, but if it did happen, and, for example, the state's AAA credit rating was at risk, then all areas of expenditure would have to be assessed. At the moment, we are confident that we can deliver the Royalties for Regions program, and we are doing so.
Do you see employment rising sharply when the economic downturn really hits Australia?
I think Australia will experience a rise in unemployment, and there will certainly be job losses. There have already been mines close or go into a care and maintenance in Western Australia. And bear in mind, only 6 months ago, people were talking about a chronic shortage of labour. So there is a little bit of insulation in the system to some extent, but once that works out, I think you will see a rise in unemployment, and hopefully we can keep that to as minimum as possible.
I guess the cuts in capital works won't help in that.
Depends how they're targeted. At the same time, bear in mind, what is new in Western Australia is the Ord River expansion, hopefully Oakajee, hopefully the sinking of the rail line, and hopefully a couple of major private sector projects. The irony of an economic environment like this is that some of the major projects can actually seize the opportunity to go ahead. It's a time potentially of more labour availability, a lower Australian dollar, cheaper, more competitive prices from contractors, so you might find long-term projects seize this opportunity to go into construction, anticipating coming into production in 2 or 3 years' time. And I'm hopeful, for example, that might be the case with the Gorgon project.
So Brian Burke has launched something of a media offensive in the last couple of days. Has he been unfairly targeted by the CCC?
Look, I am certainly not going to rise to the defence of Brian Burke, nor will I take any notice of the advice given by Brian Burke. The CCC, there is a debate going on in the community. It's been going on for some time about the CCC and in particular the role of the parliamentary inspector, and everyone seems to have an opinion on that. As I've said previously, I find it unsatisfactory that there is this legal stoush going on. In the current environment, the most immediate issue is to make a distinction between the situation at the City of Cockburn, which is the immediate issue that government is looking at, and the long-term position of the CCC. I and the Attorney General have foreshadowed that there may well be some legislative changes to the CCC, but they won't be to accommodate Mr. Burke, I can assure you.
Do you think he is trying to build a groundswell of a debate about
Well, he may well think that he can discredit the CCC and its findings, and that may in some way help him with his own charges that he is facing. But again, Brian Burke brought great discredit to Western Australia in the 1980s. He reappeared and brought great discredit to this state over recent years. I have no sympathy at all for Mr. Burke. Well, he may well, that's what he tends to do, but I'm not going to be taking any notice of whatever Mr. Burke has to say. He is facing criminal charges and they will proceed through the justice system. My job is to make sure that the CCC operates effectively. One way or another, it's necessary to settle this dispute about powers and roles, particularly the parliamentary inspector. But in the meantime, the government has to deal with the findings of the CCC in significant reports. And let's face it, we have needed a body like the CCC when we've had Labor governments.
When is the government likely to make a decision on the future of Cockburn Council?
The Minister for Local Government, John Castrilli, is looking at that now. He has discussed it with me. He is having a discussion with the Attorney General and seeking advice on some legal matters.
Today, tomorrow?
Currently.
Currently.
Is there a suggestion, when you say you're getting advice on legal matters, that sounds as if the action that he may be considering taking is a bit stronger than what the suggestion was earlier this morning?
Well, we have to get the advice from the Attorney General, and he will obviously get that from the State Solicitor on the situation. I mean, the CCC report came down with 5 findings of misconduct on the Mayor of the City of Cockburn. As I would read it, as a layperson, the parliamentary inspector has questioned some interpretations of evidence but I don't believe it has significantly or substantially changed the findings of the CCC report. But that is my opinion, and that is what we're seeking a more definitive legal view on. I will wait till I get the legal advice.
The stakes are high.
What can I say? I find it untenable, the situation at the City of Coburn.
It's not the first time, though, is it? The City of Coburn's been in trouble.
That's correct.
So what, over a long-term view and broader policy view, can be done to make local governments more accountable?
Oh, well, that's a fairly broad question. But, I mean, at the moment, whatever the state government does depends on its powers as laid down under the Local Government Act. So no one, myself included, can just go out there and act in a sort of a cavalier way. We have to work within the law.
You talked about the need to sort out these issues about the roles and powers of the various CCC bodies and the inspector and issues to organise crime. Is that going to be an immediate priority when Parliament comes back?
It won't be the first priority, but it will be something that we will deal with during the course of next year. I mean, while I'm not satisfied with this dispute that is going on, it is not a prime agenda of this government. We will deal, more importantly, with issues like drugs, issues that affect people in the street. They will be the priorities for the government. We will recognise that we have to deal with the CCC issue. There are a lot of points of view, all that will be taken on board, but the prime policy objectives in health, education, social issues will take priority.
Just back to
Well, again, I'm not going to preempt the advice that will come. My view is that it is untenable for Stephen Lee to continue as the mayor of the City of Coburn. And as I said, when the CCC report came out, he should, in my view, do the correct thing, the proper thing, and step down as mayor. And I think it is untenable to the ratepayers of the City of Coburn that he has basically taken leave and been paid. I mean, that is just an outrageous situation.
So, your personal view then, it seems to be that CCC's right, Malcolm
Cusk
is wrong.
Well, they have points of view, and again, that we are seeking advice on that. But I don't think the two reports, the CCC report and the report of Malcolm McCusker, can be seen to be directly opposed.
You said that with a lower dollar and a possibility of Labor being available, you could seize the moment. Does that mean you're building a stadium?
Well, the stadium's obviously one of those items that is going to be at the top of the list to be looked at. And I had a meeting, coincidentally, with Terry Waldron yesterday on a few issues. There are some issues to do with the stadium. There's some perhaps longer-term issues about safety and the construction that needs to be looked at. But clearly, we are going to have to deal with the stadium issue one way or another. Look, I, like everyone else, would love to say we can build a new stadium. And if I had a lazy $1 billion lying around in Treasury, that's what we'd do. But we don't have that money.
But it hasn't really progressed since. There's been
no decision has been made on the stadium, yeah.
So what about the North Richland, the rail line? When, I've probably missed it in the last few weeks, but when do you see that start?
Well, that's been a proposal that one of the top three priorities put to the federal government under the Infrastructure Australia program. Now, the federal government has basically agreed with our first priority, which was the Ord River. We're having a lot of discussions about the Oakajee Port project. And the third one that the state ranked was sinking the rail line through Perth. There are other projects too that I think the federal government gives up, that we've listed, that the federal government gives a lot of focus to, and improving the road network around Perth Airport, I think looms fairly high in their mind, and that it's important.
So we're just waiting on
Well, yeah, I mean, the deal with Infrastructure Australia basically is that the state puts up proposals, which we've done. We put up basically five proposals. Other states put up many more, but I didn't go on a fishing expedition. We put up the proposals we thought had merit that were important for the long-term development of this state and of the City of Perth. And the deal is basically that they be funded 50-50 between the Commonwealth and the state. Now, if the Commonwealth comes to the party, great, we can proceed. If the Commonwealth doesn't come to the party, then we have to reassess whether the state goes it alone on any one or more of those projects. But that doesn't diminish the importance of those projects to Western Australia.
Premier, New Year's resolution?
New Year's resolution? My resolution is to win more at tennis and to read more. And they're my personal resolutions.
Thank you.
Have you graded yourself over the first 100 days?
No, I haven't. Not a tennis, no. Mind you, I had a win yesterday, which I put down to a new racket and a change of partner.
What about your wife, Bevan?
Sorry?
Surely you rated your political first 100 days.
No, I don't.
Surely
you have. I'm sorry, I haven't.
What about your wife or your kids?
Well, if she rated me, I'd get a very low score probably. No.
Your wife's not happy with
I don't engage in that, yeah. Okay, thank you very much.